is good to be here. Beautiful day, great fellowship, time with the brothers and sisters. This is great. Get myself together here. You know, the Bible verse that the brother read was short, wasn't it? Got to the point, though, didn't it? You know, there's something that scares me a lot about that verse. It scares me a lot. Be self-controlled and alert. Because what we're hearing here from God is that the enemy, our devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I don't know about y'all, but what I know about predators is that predators look for the weak. That's what they're looking for, the weak, not the strong. They pass them on by. What they're looking for is those that are weak. And since 1984, I've been working with children and I've been working with families. Families that are attacked by all kinds of different things. And right now I find myself at Schultz Lewis over in Valparaiso. And I'm working with children right now who are weak, who are vulnerable. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate the way this congregation and other congregations of the church help us out with prayers and with support. But I'll tell you, and you know, people say all the time, they'll say, every generation says, oh, kids got it worse now than they had it back years ago. And so you start hearing that and you start thinking, oh, is it really worse? I mean, things were bad back in the 70s and they were bad in the 50s and so on and so on. And they are bad in many ways. But I've been working in social work and helping families for about 25 years. And folks, I'm seeing some things now at a younger and younger age that I didn't used to see. Children are coming to Schultz Lewis. They're 12 years old. And they are engaged in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships that are completely the opposite of what God would have for them. They are involved in a lot of things. They are getting confused at what I believe is an unprecedented rate about whether boys are supposed to like boys or boys are supposed to like girls or girls are supposed to... They don't know what's what. And I'll tell you, it's scaring me. The lines are getting blurred for our kids. They are not getting clarity. They are not getting clarity. They're watching TV and they get all kinds of messages. And don't get me started on the internet where they are seeing pictures, where they are reading stories, where they are being exposed to things that nobody should be exposed to. Nobody should see. And when their little minds get exposed to this, the lines begin to become very blurred for them. I have my theory. And my theory is that going back to this verse, the devil is looking for our vulnerable children. He is trying to take them away from us. And we are being attacked in ways that are just unimaginable. Now, I live over in Indiana. But when I watch TV, I watch the news out of Chicago. Valparaiso does not have a TV station. We are too small. So we watch the Chicago station, my wife and I both, as we're getting ready in the morning. Like to know what's going on. And what I hear is how many people are dying over here in Chicago. People are dying left and right. People are getting shot all over the place. I looked on the internet at some news blurbs, and it was talking that in April 22nd, now that's months ago, that Chicago was on course to be the murder capital of the country. And I'll tell you, I've been watching the news since April. It hasn't changed in my view. People are dying left and right. In fact, when this article was written, April 22nd of 2008, it started with at least 37 people were shot in Chicago over the weekend. 8 of the shootings were fatal. That was the headline. 37 people shot. 8 people dead. It says, Chicago police received dozens of 911 calls about the gun violence around the city this weekend. They acknowledge that 37 shootings is a big number for a 3-day period. They acknowledge. They weren't outraged. They just acknowledged it. Police Superintendent Jody Weiss continues to blame gangs for the ongoing violence. You have too many guns and too many guns and too many drugs on the street, said Jody Weiss. Stopping the violence is now becoming a priority as the weather begins to warm up. Now here's Mayor Daley. He's got his comment to make. He says it's going to be a long summer. Parents better take responsibility for them. For them. Who's he talking about? Kids, isn't he? Parents better take responsibility for them. One gang expert in Chicago says that it's just a matter of getting additional gun legislation, but also addressing the bigger problem of resolving poverty, especially in some of the more oppressed communities of the city. Well, you know what? The government is right about something. There is a poverty issue. There is a poverty issue. You know, I always remember somebody told me one time, said, you know, kids down in Central America got plenty to eat, as long as they eat bananas. But to get enough protein to meet the minimum balance, the minimum daily requirement, they'd have to eat over 100 pounds of bananas in a day. So they got their little stomachs are full. They're just getting the wrong kind of nutrition. Brother spoke earlier. He was getting nutrition, but it was causing his blood pressure, causing other things. But what we're seeing is that poverty sometimes has a lot of different appearances. You know, the world is feeding kids. The world is feeding kids a lot of things. The world is feeding the kids consumerism. Wants to teach kids that if you want to be successful in life, get all the things you can get. Buy, buy, buy. Get whatever you can. It's teaching children via television. It's pumping all kinds of messages to our children. The music that our children listen to, try to listen to, that they have available to them. Teaching all kinds of inappropriate relationships, how to treat people, how to disrespect police, how to disrespect adults. It's a problem. It's a big problem. The world's teaching our kids about self-love. Love yourself before everybody else. Make sure you're okay first. Then you might worry about somebody else. Self-love. It's teaching them about worship of the dollar. That your goal in life is to make as much money as you can. So that you can buy. So that you can get. So that you can please yourself. It's teaching them about that almighty dollar. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Look at what is being pumped at our kids every day. And their little minds, our adult minds, struggle to understand it in the way that the world is presenting it outside of God's plan. But these little minds are confused by it. And things begin to look normal. And things begin to look natural. And things begin to look acceptable for our kids. You know, but at the same time, everything that the world is feeding our children, they're actually being starved. It's like that banana story I told you. They feel like their little bellies are full. They're getting everything. They're getting all kinds of stuff. But they're getting the wrong things. They're getting it wrong. And they're starving. In the social work field, we call it failure to thrive. These children are suffering from conditions called failure to thrive. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6:25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? You see, our God has a different message than the world. The world's trying to feed our kids junk food. That's what the world's trying to feed them, and our children aren't thriving as a result. We see the murder rate going up. My wife and I sat riveted to the TV the other day. We watched Elizabeth Vargas from ABC News talking about a show called Babyland. Babyland. Down in Memphis, Tennessee, where so many African-American children from poor neighborhoods are being buried in this one county cemetery that they don't even call the cemetery by its name anymore. They call it Babyland. They showed the health department coming up with boxes. Boxes, wooden boxes, and setting them one after another into a common grave. That's in the United States. I'm not talking about a third world country. And their claim on this TV show is that people were dying, children were dying there, as fast as they were dying in some of the third world countries. Folks, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. When families are missing fathers, when children are missing mothers, not just fathers. We talk a lot about the fathers. Folks, I'm getting kids at Schultz Lewis, at the children's home, that the moms are forgetting that they have children. They're out running the streets. They're out trying to make a dollar. They're out trying to buy something for themselves. You see, they got trapped. They got trapped. And they keep looking for more because something is missing. Something is missing from their lives. Christ wasn't concerned about the food of this world. That was not Christ's concern. What he was concerned about was a different kind of food. A different kind of food for people. You see, he's our creator. He knows exactly what we need and how much of everything that we need. In John chapter 4, verses 32 through 34, Christ is speaking to his disciples and he says to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, Christ is setting the stage. All of the junk that the world was feeding his disciples, he's trying to tell them there's a different kind of food. There's a different way to meet your needs. The poverty that you feel in this world is not the poverty that he was here to address. In John 6:27, it says, do not work for food that spoils. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. You see, he's got a food that transcends anything. He can meet our needs in ways that it will not spoil. You see, if I go to Walmart, anything I buy at Walmart, it's either going to spoil, it's going to rust, it's going to deteriorate, it's going to fall apart. It is not going to last. And anything created by man is in the same condition. But that for which God creates will endure. You see, Christ is trying to tell us there's a food that God has for us that will last throughout eternity. It will sustain us in ways that the world can never, ever sustain us. God wants us to feed off of his love. That's what he wants for us. I came across something that was pretty amazing. I was on the internet and I was looking at some different things and I found a collection of about 50 Bible verses. And the person that had collected it took those Bible verses from all over the Bible and created what this person calls a love letter from God. Every one of these verses is from the Bible, and some of them are paraphrased. But listen to this, because this comes straight from the inspired word. It starts with this. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all of your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love upon you. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. for I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I'm also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. These are all verses from your dad, from your father. Every one of those is a verse from both the Old and the New Testament, revealing the kind of love that God has for us. Too many pages here. God wants us to feed off of His love. He wants to sustain us. God wants us to bring that message that I just read, that love letter from Him, to every single person. Save none. You know, the world is starving out there. There is a nutrition problem. There is a poverty problem. Not in the way that the government officials think. The poverty is a poverty of soul and spirit. People are trying to feed themselves in all of the wrong ways. All of the wrong ways. They're seeking love in all the wrong places. And it's not sustaining them. And then they become deficient. They become angry. They become violent. They become neglectful. And that's what we see on the news. That's what we read about. Folks, we've got to do something. We've got to change this world. We've got to make this world a better place. And we've got to teach people how to feed themselves, how to feed off of God's love, to understand that He gave His only Son for each and every one of us, and how much He wants to spend eternity with us. It's amazing. I tell the kids at Schultz Lewis that Christ could have stopped that walk up Calvary's Hill anytime He wanted to. He could have summoned 10,000 angels. He could have done things very different. He could have struck down all those that were persecuting Him. And He didn't. Because you know why? Because God loved us so much, He could not bear the thought of an eternity without any one of us. Without any one of us. He couldn't bear that thought. And because of His love for us, and because of His desire, He laid His life down for each and every one of us. We know that. We're members of the church. Most of us have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. But folks, one of the things that was sad was that I drove through downtown Chicago, came down the interstate to get here, I didn't have any traffic problems. There was nobody much on the roads. And I told my wife, isn't that a shame that of all the days in the week, the roads are least crowded on a Sunday morning? They should be most crowded. It should be bumper to bumper as people are trying to get to the church and worship God Almighty. And they're not. But yet the rest of the week, they're trying to feed themselves. They're trying to fill their lives with this, and they're trying to fill their lives with that. And then they want to know why they're depressed and why they're unhappy and why things aren't going their way. It's because they're getting the wrong thing. The devil is out there like a lion. He is looking for the weak. There's many places we can choose to start. You see, we have a commission. Don't forget that. We have a commission. We've got to take this message of God and His Son Jesus Christ to everyone. We're not supposed to leave any stone unturned. We're not going to let distance get in our way. He's given us a commission. He wants us to make disciples of the world. And there's lots of points of entry. I'm blessed to get to work with children. I want to start with them young. Because you see, I'd rather train them up in the Word and train them up to be disciples of Christ, then try to rehabilitate them later on as adults. So I'm fortunate. I get a chance. I get a little window. I'm going to try to do everything I can with the staff that we have. But you know what? You've got points of entry. You got neighbors. You got folks that you're working with. You got family members. You got to think about where can you make a difference and start one person at a time. And if every one of us does that, I'll come back next year. This church is going to be filled. It will. I know it will. And they'll be busting out the seams. We'll have to open the windows there so everybody else can hear the rest. That's what we've got to do because the world is starving. Folks, the devil's trying to take people away from us. He's trying to take our children away from us. He's trying to hit us at the very beginning of life. We cannot let that happen. And we can go forward with confidence. Do you know why? Because we have God on our side. And He will not let us fail. The victory has already been won. We're here to work for God. Let's do it. Let's save our children. It makes a difference. I'll tell you what. Young man served me communion this morning. And I saw something good in that young man's eye. I saw a glint. I saw a sparkle. I saw a little smile. You know why? He was serving God. He was serving God. He is a valuable member of this congregation of the Lord's church. That young man was filled. He had his daily requirement. That young man was healthy today because he was right here with all of us, hearing the word, praying to God, and participating in the kingdom's works. He's one of many young men that need that. Let's not stop. Let's bring some more young men in here. Let's continue our work. Folks, we have that commission. We need to make disciples of all throughout the world. Let's never forget it. And I will say this. I don't know all the works this church is involved in, but I do know this. God is transforming lives at Schultz Lewis, at the children's home. And you all are helping to make that happen. You all are standing right there with us, whether you know it or not, because your prayers are offered up. Because you give many different kinds of gifts and support, and you are making the difference and saving lives. Let's keep up the good work. This partnership with God through Jesus Christ, it doesn't get any better. Well, if you haven't had a chance to fill your life with something more than what the world has to offer, then you're running out of gas. If you haven't plugged into God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you are malnourished. Your soul has been deprived. And something needs to be done about that. The only way you're going to be sustained eternally and with all of the right things is to give your life to the Lord. If you haven't had an opportunity to do that, If you haven't had an opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, to enter into the cleansing waters of baptism, then this church wants to help you with that walk. We all want to help you with that. If your soul feels empty and you need someone to pray for you, to help you to draw closer to God, this congregation wants to help you with that. We don't want anybody to walk away not having what God intends for each and every one of you. So, if you need any of those things, please feel free to come forward as we stand to sing.